I picked up her and Johnny Brumfield, and we started back, because Johnny got an awesome testimony too. Ooh. I mean, I laid hands on Johnny's knees and used that same verse, John 14, 13, 14. Here's a man that has had, he's got a steel around his waist all the way to his ankles, and he can't walk, hadn't walked a step in 21 months. And he had been called to do something he hadn't done. He repented to God. I prayed for him, and he stood on that. I said, now, you know, that scripture's pretty awesome right there. I said, do you believe that? He said, sir, I'm a Southern Baptist. If it's written in that Bible, I believe it. And I said, well, I prayed for you. I said, now take that steel off. Stand up and walk. He unstrapped that steel, throwed it down in the floor. I said, bend your legs. He reached down, pulled them legs up. He said, you know, I haven't walked a step in 21 months, and the doctors say I ain't never going to walk again. I said, you know, but Jesus said in John 14, 13, 14, we could ask for what? I said, you've repented of all your sins, so now we're going to pray the prayer of faith for you. And we did. And Johnny, I said, stand up. And so he pulled his knees in under him, and I reached out and grabbed him by the hand. He started to put pressure on his legs. He said, oh, it hurts, it hurts. I said, don't believe the pain. Don't look at that. Just believe God's word. And so I just thought about that man at the gate, beautiful, when Peter said, you know, I don't have no money or gold, but what I got's better than that. Get up in the name of Jesus. And he jerked that man up, and he started walking. And so I jerked Johnny up, and he stood up, and he said, wow. And of course, I could see the doubt. You know, the doubt's right there. So I said, come on, take a step. He wouldn't even attempt to take a step. So I jerked him. I said, come on, I'm going to force him to take that step. He took that first step. I said, come on. I jerked him second, third time. And after a day, I said, you can walk here on your own. And he walked around the podium three times and broke and ran right down the aisle all the way to the back door and back to the front with his hands screaming, God is awesome! Y'all see why those people that write those letters to me that those promises don't work for me, they got to me a little too late? You see, I've already seen God do it when I use those promises. Isn't that wonderful? So, I mean, I got another thing to say, and this is on tape and I want everybody to hear it. If you ain't got enough guts to send me something, tell me you don't like what I'm doing. If you ain't got enough guts, put your address, return, and at least put your name and everything and your phone number. Don't bother to write me a letter. If you want to talk about it, let me have a place where I can get in touch with you. Don't write me a letter and put a scripture or something up there where the return address is and then put down at the bottom of the page after you reprimand me for all these things that I do wrong. And you say, friend, my only problem is, how many people have you got healed in the last 20 years? Oh, none. Oh, okay. Now we can talk about this. Maybe what I'm doing is not all crazy. Because you know how many people I've seen healed in the last 20 years? I don't know. There is so many, I lost count. Is that a good problem to have, brother? That's a good problem to have. I kept up with them for a while. You know, till I got up 20 or 30 miracles and about 100, 150 healings. It was kind of okay. And then finally one day I thought, oh, God, dude, this is awesome. Was it 150 or 151 or 161? I forgot. Don't worry about it. I'm going to heal so many you ain't going to remember them all anyway. I mean, I don't even know. I have no idea. But is God limited on His power? No. After we prayed for little Jenna, 2 weeks after we prayed for her, she looked like she does on the pictures on the left. So when you go out, you look at the pictures on the right, and you'll see her. Oh, she looks awful, especially the two bottom ones. Awful. Let's go back to that Deuteronomy 28, 27. The Lord will smite you with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, or hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. Now then, I heard a very well-known preacher that you would know his, I'm sure you'd know he's on television all the time. Just the other day, I was riding along listening to his radio show. And he said, you know, there are some people out there that'll tell you that God can put sickness up on you. But he said, I'm going to tell you, God don't have no sickness. He can't give you something He don't have. So he said, if somebody tells you God put sickness up on you, they're lying. Okay. I'm going to tell you right there. Last time I looked, that says the Lord. It didn't say the devil, did it? The Lord? Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy. While we're right here in Deuteronomy, let's go back to Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, and I want to show you where we all need to live as Christians. Now, this is where they could have lived as people under the law. But God will bless you and do the same thing for you if you do what He says. And it shall come to pass Now, when God says something like that, I don't know about you, but I love to find something when He says, and it shall come to pass. Don't you? What if I walked up to you and said, brother, it shall come to pass. I'm going to give you $1 million this afternoon when you leave. Woo! You'd come back to another healing school, wouldn't you? So, are you all married? Okay, so that means you get part of that too then, right? Oh, good. Yeah. Well, I mean, but see, if God said it, see, I might not be able to fulfill that because I ain't got $1 million, unfortunately. But God has everything, doesn't He, brother? If God says, and it shall come to pass, there ain't nothing too big for Him to make come to pass, right? That's absolutely right. But He says, and it shall come to pass if, now there is the biggest word in the Bible, if. There's something you're going to have to do to make this come to pass. If you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. If we obey Him as a nation or as an individual. If we obeyed God, just think, our nation was founded upon Christian principles. I mean, they're ingrained in granite. Just like I told the people that I worked for 10 years ago, that I'd been with them 29 years. Actually, three different groups owned the company I worked for. And the last 7 years, I think it was a different organization. And the first one, they didn't have any problem with my praying and talking about Jesus. And the second one didn't have a problem with my praying and talking about Jesus. But the third group that bought us had a problem with it. And so they tried their best to get me not to talk about Jesus. And so one day they sent me an email and said, well, you need to know how many trucks and what size and lengths and all the stuff that you have. And so I said, sure, no problem. So I sent them all this information on a spreadsheet, and down at the bottom I put, praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. And then over to the side I had a little bitty tiny thing called, it's beautiful. And it was the 6 days of creation and the 1 day of rest. And it all took about 2 minutes to watch it, and it was beautiful. I don't know who done that, but it was really a nice little deal. And so I attached that to it. And so a few days later, maybe 2 weeks later, John, the guy in charge of HR, he called me and said, Thurman, are you going to be in your office this afternoon at 4 o'clock? I said, well, I can be. He said, I need to come talk with you. I said, okay, come on. I thought, the head man of HR come talk to me. One of the managers, wonder what he wants to talk to me about. So he came in, walked in his office and said, Thurman, you remember 2 weeks ago you sent a guy from corporate. He wanted to know how many trucks you had and everything about it, and you sent him all the information? I said, oh, yeah, I sent it. Yeah. I said, I gave him exactly what he wanted. He said, yes, you did. And that was exactly what he wanted. But he said, you signed it, praise the Lord Jesus. I said, oh, yeah, I always do that. He said, over here at the bottom, you put a little thing that said, it's beautiful. Now, I didn't remember that. I thought, wait, I don't remember that. What was it? And he takes a picture out of his briefcase, and there it is. When I saw it, I said, oh, yeah, I remember. I said, wasn't that beautiful? He said, yeah, I will have to say it was. He said, everybody in corporate, including the CEO down, has seen this several times. And he said, this one man is not a Christian. You've so offended him. And so the CEO told me to come over and tell you that you have to stop doing this. I said, John, read my lips. No. I said, I'm not going to stop sending my emails saying praise the Lord. I said, He is my King. I'm not going to stop doing these kind of little things. I said, you know, I really work for Jesus. He said, well, the CEO told me to fire you if you wouldn't agree. I said, oh, praise God. I said, that's it. I said, so give me my walking papers. I stood up and said, okay, I'll see you later, John. Went to shake hands with him. He said, Thurman, you're not going to quit that easy. I said, I'm not quitting. I understand I'm fired. He said, you're really going to leave, aren't you? I said, well, of course. I don't work for y'all anyway. I work for Jesus. He said, I'm going to sit back down. He said, the CEO said, to threaten you with firing you, but you're the best engineer we got, so don't fire you. I thought, isn't that amazing? Threaten me with firing. I'm the best engineer they got. I save them all this money. I remembered a few months before they sent me to Chicago, they had a great, massive problem with their eyes up there, and they were spending thousands, hundreds and thousands of dollars, and I go up there in a 3-day trip. I fixed everything, showed them what was wrong with every piece of equipment, them big, giant ice machines, and in 3 days, I saved that company $1 million in 3 days. And the CEO, I got a letter, believe it or not, even from the commanding general of the organization. You know what I mean? Mr. Scherzer, we are so grateful for you and your great knowledge. For you saved us so much money. You know, you can even get the attention of a CEO when you save him $1 million. How do you do this? I picked up the phone, called him. I said, let it be known. I'm a man of God. And I always pray and I ask the Father in Jesus' name to give me wisdom. And the reason I could do that job for you is because I work for Jesus Christ and not for you. So anyway, they didn't fire me. And so we go on. He said, but Thurman, you got to stop. I said, John, like I told you, no, I am going to get worse. If you think, I'm going to start signing it double. You know, I said, I want people to know I'm going to start signing all over the page, top, bottom, everywhere. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do we work for? Who'd you rather make happy, the Jesus or the CEO of the company? Jesus. Yeah, me too. I'd much rather make the king happy. I'm not ashamed of the king. Absolutely, I'm not. And so anyway, we'd go along there for a while, about a year, I guess it was. And one day, and I am back there in the back, and I hear this awful screaming. And I thought, what is that? So, man, I go running from receiving all the way down to Hot Foods, and there is a little Spanish woman that has slipped and fell and laid her arm on a steel door of an oven that was 250 to 300 degrees. And it had, from where her glove was here to where her sleeve was here, everything in between was fried, and big old blisters were coming up all over her arm. And she was screaming to the top of her lungs. Everybody was trying to help her. Get salve and put on it. Call 911. All these things. And I come running down there and I ran up to her and I said, you know, in Isaiah 53:4-5, it said, he bore your pain. Because I know you're in gross pain. Isaiah 53:4. Now you'll have to read the right translation to get that because the King James does not use the word pain there. But the word in the Hebrew means pain. And so anyway, I said, you know, he bore your pain, so you don't have to bear it. Then I said, and in fact, let's go to this next one, Mark 16:18. Mark 16:18, I said, and Mark 16:18, Jesus says, they shall take up serpents, or the devil, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Lay hands on the sick, and just say, get healed. How hard was that? You know, I've noticed that God doesn't make our part difficult.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled, God Will Command the Blessings to Overtake You, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.